We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now you're just poking the cage for no good reason. No, I mean, Iguodala was hugely important to this team just for that, because he helped make them, for the first time ever, a destination for players. They were never a destination before. Every great player that came to Oakland came either because they were traded here or because they got drafted here. I mean, nobody went out of the way and said, that's where I want it. That's where I want my career to blossom. They'd rather go to Boston, or they'd rather go to New York, or they'd rather go to L.A. Iguodala was the first guy to choose Oakland above all else. And I think that helped break the seal on everything.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the 2018 NBA champions. Let's take a listen to a little interview we did yesterday with Steph Curry. Here you go. Enjoy. What's up, Steph? How you doing, man?
I'm great.
What's a bad boy?
Steph Curry joining us. Oh, what do you got in this cup? What is that?
I got to stay hydrated. It's very sunny and hot out here, so I got to stay hydrated.
What is this one like compared to the other championships?
They're all special. I've been asked to rank them and all that type of stuff. It's kind of hard to do because if you go back and put yourself back in that moment, 2015, last year, this year, every one of them special for different reasons. So only thing 2015's got just is the first one. And that's you have no idea what to expect with, you know, the feeling of winning a championship and celebration back here in Oakland and whatnot. But to go back-to-back, if I put that in perspective, we've been chasing that for a couple of years, and that was pretty special.
To all the youngsters listening, talk to us about what's within your regiment. When you had injuries, how you didn't give up, and now how you battle back to be one of the best in the league, and now you're collecting hardware. What goes into that mindset to where you don't give up?
I mean, I appreciate every single day that I get to play basketball. I have since I started, and no matter what come my way, I have to figure out how to, you know, keep my self-confidence and my joy for what I do. And so no matter if I'm dealing with injuries or surgeries or losing in the finals, you know, up and down roller coaster regular season like we had, my self-confidence and confidence in the guys that I suit up with never wavers. And at the end of the day, you have to rely on your hard work. I mean, the hardest working people in the room usually are the ones that are the most successful. Looking at you guys and what you do, you know, what I do on the court, the cream of the crop rises to the top with hard work. So that has to be the thing that you fall back on the most.
Why was this the toughest one? It seems like everybody was kind of saying this was the toughest. What made it the toughest?
Human nature kicked in a little bit at the beginning of the year where you really, I mean, our intentions were great. We tried to come in and attack the 82 games, knowing that it was going to be tough. Teams were gearing up for us. Teams were switching rosters to try to beat us. It was our fourth year in a row, you know, playing October through June. It's a lot of basketball games. And then you, on top of that, those mental challenges you end up with, you know, I think I heard the starting lineup of the Hampton Five or whatever you want to call it only played 41 games together throughout the regular season. So you add that to the mixture. All that stuff just tested us. And, yeah, we were looking forward to the playoffs so that we could have a clean slate to play games that matter. But Coach Kerr does a great job of just keeping the collective mindset throughout the course of the season. Where we're together, we understand that it's a long journey, and nothing about it's going to be easy.
You know, recently I had a conversation with Jay Billis from ESPN about you guys, and not only are you guys winning championships, but you're changing the way the game is being played. Not only at the NBA level, but we're talking college, we're talking high school. What does that mean to you that you're changing the game with the style and the way you guys play?
It's a pretty crazy thought, to be honest. I've always said it. I never came into the league with that in mind. I had a style of play that, whether you liked it or not, whether you liked it or not, as a point guard trying to, you know, establish myself in the league, that that was what I was going to be, and I was going to be great at it. And the fact that kids, you know, I've seen, I walked in the gyms, you see 5-, 6-, 7-year-old kids shooting threes and all that type of stuff. That's great because I hope they challenge themselves, but I hope there's an understanding that what they see on the you know, on the TV or at Oracle Arena or whatever is a finished product of a lot of hard work and fundamentals and dedication to the craft. So we want to give them something to shoot for, and I think that's something that I'm pretty proud of. But the message is there are steps to this, and you gotta follow the right plan along the way.
I got to ask you, Miss, because Steph and I go back a long way.
It's a guy.
I'm wearing the shorts.
I saw that. Those are Thunder shorts, man.
This is when I first met you.
Well, that's what I want.
Nobody else in this environment understands what these colors
mean. That's true.
So
that is true.
I wanted to kind of own that today, so that was special.
Cool. The one thing I did want to ask you, I'll never forget this. Your first day of training camp. You get drafted. Now it's training camp. Montella says, I can't play with this guy. And Steven Jackson says, get me out of here. That was your first day as a Golden State Warrior. And now you've won 3 titles. I mean, do you ever think back onto that time and think, this is ridiculous?
I think about it all the time. Being the elder statesman around here, I think, yeah, Ravens, he's
chugging.
Speaking of that first day, that was my first real interaction with Raymond. I met him at my media day after the draft. But that first training camp, or the media day we had before training camp, I was walking out of down the hall out to the parking lot at our practice facility, and he walks up, taps me on the shoulder. He's like, hey, you might hear or read something about, you know, Monte saying something about you guys playing this and that. Just don't worry about it. You know, there's a lot of backstory to that, yada, yada, yada. I didn't know anything, you know, I didn't know anything about the league, so I kind of took it with a grain of salt and understood that my rookie season was just about me, you know, getting some experience and whatnot and establishing myself. But it was a chaotic year, to say the least. But, you know, 6 years down the road, ended up winning my first championship, and now I got 3. So just blessed to be able to have, you know, witnessed the change and the transformation of this organization from 2009 to 2018.
Well, and been probably the biggest reason for it.
I appreciate that, man.
Outside of your dad, of course, who was your guy growing up? Who was Steph's guy that you looked up to? Like, I'm trying to be like him.
It was 2 guys, Steve Nash, Steve Kerr.
Kerr is all right.
Kerr is all right. He's good. I watched him in the playoffs. But Steve Nash and Reggie Miller, the 2 guys that I felt like I could combine their 2 skill sets and create 1 player. And that's kind of the versatility between playing a 1 or 2 and being a scoring guy, or sometimes a playmaker with you using your scoring as a threat. The way that Reggie moved out the ball, Steve Nash's creativity with the ball.
I think you
succeeded. They were gamers. I tried to bring the best traits of both of those guys and more from either one.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're absolutely living the dream. You got 3 titles. You got a beautiful young family. Thank you so much for stopping by. Congratulations. And go enjoy with your teammates.
I appreciate that, guys. And thanks for covering us all year. And, hopefully we'll be back here next year.
That was Steve Curry from Steve Curry.
Steve Curry.
You know what? Here's what I can't stand, Ray. When Steve Curry, Steinmetz, he doesn't even know the guy's name. It's like, okay, it's a mistake. I made a mistake. I know it's Steph Curry and Steve Kerr. You can mix that up all the time. But people, they really, like, use that as a way to denigrate me. Or you.
I wouldn't make that mistake.
You've made verbal typos.
4.
What a great guy. Steph Curry. I mean, has he been the most joyful athlete that you've ever covered in the Bay Area?
Given the demands on his time and given the pressures of being sort of the nucleus of all of this, yeah, probably. I mean, he's able to compartmentalize all of the demands made of him. And I think that's, I mean, that's a skill that either his parents taught him or he developed on his own. But he knows how to have the shields up. And he had the shields up with you all through that conversation, even though you didn't know it, because he knows what's required of him in any interview situation. And in that interview, he needed to just relax and just, hey, it's a great day. I have something in my cup I'm not going to tell you. I have a bit of a buzz. It's good to be an American.
His shield was down. I ripped that shield down. See, Curry and I go way back. Go back to whenever he was drafted. What year was that?
I don't care if you went to high school with him.
Oh, no. That's
Curry is never not fully aware of who he's talking to and what the context is. He's that smart. There are very few athletes like that. Steve Young was like that. I mean, but no, Curry never lets you see him sweat. He never lets you see him be anything other than what he wants you to see him as. And that's, again, it's not a criticism. But he's always on point. And he's aware of what you want and the way you want it at that time. He will decide how much of that he gives you. And then that's it. It's a survival skill for any great athlete. Because there are a lot of great athletes who cannot handle the media and don't do it well.
See, I thought I was a big factor in that interview. I take it back.
He's really a dope and you're a genius.
Thank you very much. 888-957-9570. We're going to come back and talk more about the parade. Talk more maybe about where LeBron James is going to go. Can he change the balance of power?
Now, back to Stein, Metz, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Ray Ratto sitting in for Daryl the Guru Johnson today. And I'm Matt Steinmetz. Thanks for listening, everybody. Just got done playing a Steph Curry interview. Couple things about that. I got to tell you. So, you're an Alameda guy, right?
Yeah.
Actually, I don't even know why I said that. I know you're an Alameda guy. They're in the process. There's going to be a new golf course opening in Alameda, the South Course at Karika Park. And it's going to open in about a week, and I'll be darned if I didn't see a photo of Steph Curry and his dad. They played the course already, apparently. They played it Monday. And why does he get to play it early?
Let me list the 750 reasons why.
Well, try one. I mean, what?
He's Steph Curry.
He's not even like he's not even live in Alameda.
Doesn't have to.
And Del Curry lives 3,000 miles away.
And who should play on this Monday? No one.
Who's Alameda's biggest? I mean, you know what, Ray? I gotta make it to the NBA because I want some of these perks.
He has a planetary passport. Get over it.
People want to know why Curry said, why did Curry look at you when he said some people didn't like how I look? Right. Remember when Curry was drafted?
Yeah.
I mean, he was just another guy. He was going to be the new Larry Hughes, the new Monte Ellis, the Mike Dunleavy, nobody thought he was going to be who some he people, ended up being.
No one did. Some people thought he was too slight. That he'd just get bodied off the ball. And everybody was wrong because he is a generational player in a sport that's probably had seven of them in 70 years.
Well, let's think.
Russell Chamberlain.
Okay.
Kareem, Magic, Bird, Jordan, James.
Yeah, I would go along with that list. I would go along with that list. Yeah. But, yeah, Curry's
a Walt Bellamy.
Where does the game go from here, Ray? Are we going to shoot more threes for a while yet?
For a while.
Is it going to come
back?
Because
the metrics tell you should. But you will not get teams – who do it as efficiently as Golden State does for a while, because you have to find multiple great long-distance shooters.
But you don't think there's going to be more and more of those guys coming into the league because now they've got lifetime of three-point practice?
I think Stephen Curry is an outlier in the same way that Wayne Gretzky was an outlier. He will have done things that other people will try to do and not do, because it's not just, you know, the plan. It's not just strategic. He has the gift. He's worked on developing the gift. Klay Thompson has the same gift in terms of shooting. In fact, he might be a purer shooter than Curry is. I mean, no, I don't know that there are, I don't know you could name five guys with a quicker release in the history of the game.
It's probably true. Hey, we got a guy from New York, Rich. He calls in a lot. I think you're going to like him, Ray. What's up, Rich? Say hello to Ray Ratto.
You know what? I said Guru sounds a little grumpy today, but, you know, he's very excitable, Guru. This Ray is the total opposite, and I'm aware of him, and I appreciate his knowledge. And as far as quick releases, John Havlicek, Bill Bradley come to mind.
Well, Jerry West, too.
I love West. But I'm going to tie everything together. First of all, Derek Jeter is Curry reminds me of Derek Jeter. Okay, Jeter was on the super team where everyone was always knocking him. He's not Garcia Parry. He's not A-Rod. He's not Tejada, you know, with all the home runs. And there was always a jealousy through other players. And Curry just reminds me of Jeter, how he handles things, you know, never says a bad word, never gets in trouble, all that stuff. But I'm going to get to my main point. Bottom line is, infusion of talent, I've been hearing you the last few weeks or days with Dickinson and everybody else, that you guys need some young talent. And I'm going to give you my big man, Porzingis. I'm going to include my first round draft pick, which I think is 7 or 8 this year.
Okay.
Also, I want back Clay and Draymond. All right. Now, I'm also going to take your bad contract, which is Iggy, and I'm going to offer you back my bad contract, which is Tim Hardaway Jr. Okay. Now, what that does, everyone says, oh, I'm not giving up Draymond and Clay, but you're going to open your new arena with a healthy Porzingis. You're going to still have Curry. You're going to still have a number one draft pick that I don't know what it's going to turn into because I don't really follow college, but I'm assuming you'll find someone good, young talent there. So you got Porzingis who's young. You got a draft pick who's young. I'm going to open up the door for Clay and Draymond to take over New York and bring back the Knicks and say, LeBron, you want to play with some guys who have experience? You got Clay, you got Draymond, and you got Iggy.
All right, Rich, dissect there. And I got Ray is processing.
I'm done processing. That's insane.
I like
what he's saying. No. What Rich has done is described a trade that would make the Knicks pretty good. It is not a trade that makes the Warriors pretty good. It's in fact it's ridiculously lopsided.
Oh, Porzingis is some people say a transformational young talent.
Yeah. Well, tell me who these people are. We can get them hospitalized quickly.
By the way, in your transformational players, generational players, Kobe Bryant?
I wasn't pretending that it was not, that it was a comprehensive list.
Oh, I got Kobe! You. I got you.
I mean, you could put him on there, sure.
Okay. Let's go to Larry in Oakland. What's up, Larry?
Hey there. I've been enjoying listening to both of you. How are you doing?
Thank you. Oh, doing very well.
Listen, I wanted to talk about the situation with LeBron and where he'd go. And, you know, for me, he wants championships. Nothing else matters to him with the time he's got left to play. And the Warriors, they're the team in his way, and they're the team to beat. And I think that LeBron might want to pull a Durant and take less money and never mind the finances and go to Houston. I think the Rockets could pull a Hamptons. I mean, Chris Paul and LeBron, they have godparents to each other's kids. If the only roadblock would be James Harden and how they'd get along and if he says that he wants him on his team. I think, finally, that the Lakers are too iffy, that too much has to happen to make that work. It's a maybe. And San Antonio's a maybe. He's great, but I can't see Popovich and LeBron playing against each other for control of the team.
Well, Larry, you know what? And thanks for the call. I'm going to let Ray pick up on this because we were talking about this before the show. And he put it less delicately than I'll put it, but Ray basically thinks that LeBron is screwed in a way, that he's not in a good position.
No, I don't think he is, because the teams that are in position to make a run at the Warriors are teams that I don't think would feel comfortable blowing up what they have to blow up to fit him in, and then dealing with a team that basically is run by him. I mean, when was the last coach that he absolutely listened to unreservedly? Was it maybe the last year of Eric Spoelstra? Certainly wasn't anybody in Cleveland. Certainly wasn't the early Spoelstra.
No.
I mean, he's a guy who runs his shop. And when you bring him in, you inherit all of that. In addition to the players you have to get rid of to fit him in your salary structure. Because he's not taking a pay cut. He's not going to leave money on the table. He's played 15 years. He's earned the right to max out for anybody who wants to max him out. I think he's screwed because I don't think he makes Philadelphia better. He certainly doesn't. I don't know that he enhances Ben Simmons in any meaningful way. Houston, I think there are too many moving parts to make that seem realistic. I don't think the Lakers are ready yet, even with him, to do that. I've heard Oklahoma City to join Westbrook and George, which will be hilarious because Spalding has never made enough balls to make that team happy. I just don't know that there's a comfortable fit for him. And every fit is going to require...
San Antonio? Popovich wants a meeting with him.
Does he now?
Yeah, he does. And you know what? I think Popovich will get it. You know why? Because LeBron
Oh, no. Popovich can get a meeting with anybody. He's going to get a meeting with Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi Leonard and him barely talked this year. No, I think anybody is going to take a meeting if Greg Popovich wants it. But I don't know, unless they have a guarantee from Leonard that he's staying, that it would be worth it, either to him or them.
Trying to think who else is out there that we haven't mentioned. I kind of agree with you with the Lakers. I mean, you go to the Lakers and then you're basically saying probably not going to win a title this year. See, I don't think he's... I mean, do you think his number one priority is to try to tack on championships?
Yes.
Well, then it is a tough decision where to go, because then he may have to stay in Cleveland and try to have them acquire. That might be the easiest thing to do.
If you can, but you still have to gut to replenish.
True.
And I realize, you know, that it's not going to be easy to move some of those guys.
No.
You know, because one of LeBron's great failings is he's not a very good general manager. You know, he brought in a lot of one-skill specialists because he's thought, well, I'll put this guy to do this and I'll put this guy to do this, and you go out and get those guys. And what you got was a lot of specialists at a time when the game is demanding versatility. I mean, Draymond Green in his own way, and Klay Thompson to a slightly lesser extent, helped undermine that strategy because they do multiple things well. And then you tack on Durant, who has multiple skills himself. I mean, the fact is, you know, LeBron wants to be on a team with LeBron. He wants another LeBron somewhere. And there is no other LeBron.
Boston?
I don't know. Do you want Tatum and Brown to suddenly take a back seat to a guy in his 16th year?
See, here's what I want to – let me ask you if you think this is possible. LeBron is such a great player. Can't he theoretically adjust a little bit?
He has the capability to. Does he have the will to? Does he want to adjust? I mean, because, he's an excellent passer. I think, you know, he's a more than competent defender. I don't know that there is a skill in which he is deficient, but it's a question of can he assess the players around him accurately enough so that he would know what he needs to do less of and what he needs to do more of. Because his default is basically, when in crisis, give me the ball. I will decide how this goes. And there are times, if you want to be on a super team, a quote super team, you have to learn how to defer. Kevin Durant is still learning how to do that, and he's been here for 2 years.
Did LeBron do that already in Miami?
The guy who ended up deferring was Chris Bosh. LeBron did not defer as much as people think he did. To go to a title-ready situation, let's say like Boston, Danny Ainge would need him to be willing to defer to players who are 10 and 12 years younger. I don't know if he's got that in him, because I think he's always thought, I am the solution to all problems. And as good as he is at distributing the ball and seeing the whole court and doing all the things great basketball players do, I think in his head, he has to be the last answer, whether it is to take the last shot or to be the guy who determines who takes the last shot. And I think it would be a huge adjustment for him at this stage of his career.
No doubt.
Hey, he would have to have complete and utter trust in everyone around him. And I don't know, other than maybe that second year in Miami, that he had that.
Ray, my phone has been ringing a lot lately, and the number is unrecognizable usually, and I always say hello, and then there's that short pause when you know you're getting a telemarketer. Is there anything you can do to stop getting those calls?
No, but there's something you can do to not be an idiot about it.
What?
Don't answer it. If it's somebody you know and wants to talk to you, they will leave a message.
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating. 325-4054 in Oakland. A lot of times it'll say Birmingham, Alabama, or Brownsville, Texas, or Asheville, North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah. So I always kind of want to answer it just to see.
Yeah, no.
Hey, are you from, what's Asheville like? You know what I mean?
Really? Your day is so bereft of stimulus that you want to have conversations like that out of the blue?
I like to learn about other areas, don't you?
Pick up a book.
But you can't
stop
learn
it.
As
stop
much in a book as you can from talking to people who live there.
Okay. And what have you learned about all these places by picking up these random phone calls?
Well, nothing, because they're all telemarketers. They're actually not real people.
I rest my case.
Yeah, I got to work on that. Let's go to Alex in Oakland. What's up, Alex?
How you doing, gentlemen?
Oh, doing well.
Good, good. Love enjoying your show. I was wondering about, you know how, like, Kevin Durant came to the Warriors, you know, after we lost that game in the championship, and they presented their case to Durant and said, hey, you know, we need you on board. Let's do it. And it was fabulous. What if LeBron, because we're on the subject of LeBron, where the Toronto Raptors, because, you know, nobody's been really talking about them, and they were number one seed in the East this year, and they present the case and say, hey, we need a big man. I mean, because the only person you got is Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. Would that fit?
Ray?
I'm sure Masai Ujiri could make it fit. Does LeBron want to play in Canada? Does anybody respect the Raptors enough after the way they, you know, went toes up in the postseason for him to say, that's the team I can fix? And would DeRozan and Lowry be amenable to fix it?
Oh, they don't have a choice.
They don't have a choice.
No, they don't have a choice. You jam LeBron James right down their throat. Even
well, that'll
like
make
it.
A happy team.
Oh, come on. They haven't no, done, I mean, they haven't
no,
done enough.
No, let's be serious here.
Well, they haven't done enough to say now.
No,
we're not changing
but,
our pecking order.
No, it's not a question of changing your pecking order. It's changing the way you play. That's the fundamental problem. It's not about will we welcome LeBron James. It's can I adjust my game so that I am no longer the center of it? I think Lowry and DeRozan have both had trouble with that, with each other over the past
couldn't
few
you say
years.
That's essentially what Curry's done?
Curry is different than them. Curry is a unique psyche, too. I mean, he is that rare sort of heart of a great team who doesn't mind delaying credit or delaying gratification for a bigger goal. You know, and I'm not trying to make him out to be Gandhi, but, you know, it's he gets that, you know, the greater good is reached more often when he's not the first and last option. He gets that, and he's always gotten it. That's one of the reasons why he is unique. I mean, you know, you might be able to find somebody else who shoots like him in 30 or 40 years, but he is that rarest of superstars who understands that there has to be room in the room for disparate players and disparate personalities.
Blake, San Leandro, what's going on, man? I'm doing great. I'm doing great, and I think Ray might even be doing better.
Yeah, sounds like it. I just got to say, I cherish the time since I've been a diehard Bay Area sports fan. My three teams, the Niners, Giants, and Warriors, and I never thought in a million years I would be saying that the Warriors are the best out of the three. It's just amazing the run they've been on, and it's just so thankful. I've learned it's all about the ownership down because we had a guy that didn't care to win. And now you got he's been able to turn everything around. And it's similar to Eddie DeBartolo. He's Eddie DeBartolo for basketball.
Ray?
It's just.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the call, Blake.
I could see where he would say that, but I think Eddie was more impetuous than Lacob is, but there is a clear similarity between those 49ers and these Warriors in that everybody thought at the time, and probably correctly, that the 49ers were revolutionizing offensive football,
right?
And that's what they're talking about with the Warriors now, and I think that's part of their appeal across both sides of the Bay. North Bay, South Bay, West Bay, East Bay, whatever. Because I think people in the Bay Area have an essential conceit about themselves and that winning is great. Winning championships is better, but being like part of a revolutionary vanguard like is a real turn on for them. Like the Giants, you know, won three times in 5 years. They didn't revolutionize baseball.
Oh, what do you mean?
They didn't revolutionize baseball.
They played kind of small ball.
Let me try this again. They didn't revolutionize baseball. Don't go down this road with me. They won three titles. Good for them. They did great. But I don't know that anybody looked at that and said, boy, they're really rethinking the way this game is played.
The template, Ray. It was a template they created. Good pitching.
Yeah, no
solid
one's ever had good
solid
pitching.
Defense.
Yeah, nobody's
and
ever had that before.
Situational hitting, Ray.
Yeah, no one's ever done that before. You're absolutely right, idiot. No, but I mean, I think that part is true. They've both sort of been regarded as people who have changed, you know, people and teams that change the way the game is played.
Let's go to Leroy. All right, we'll go to Leroy. You got to bring some heat, Leroy. What's up, my man?
Hey, Steiny, Ray, good to hear you guys, man. Hey, listen, I wanted both of your opinions on LeBron going to the Washington Wizards. I just think they're a piece away. I like Bradley Beal. You know, I like John Wall. And I think it would be a nice fit for him. I mean, he'll be able to stay in the East, and he'll be able to go over there and be ball dominant. And I think, you know, they can make a run if they got him. What do you guys think?
I think they've got plenty of ball dominant. But it's a thought. I mean, I can't see that Washington would say, boy, that's something we don't want to pursue. But I never hear them mentioned. And there must be a reason for that. And I'm going to presume that LeBron doesn't want to play in Washington for whatever reason. But you never hear the Wizards on a short list.
That's true.
I mean, when he was in Cleveland the first time looking to get out, the short list was a short list, and Miami was in the forefront of it from the beginning. So I think if he was interested in Washington, we would have heard indirectly from him or his people.
Let's go to Aubrey in the city. What's up, Aubrey?
Hey, Steiny. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to go back to when you guys were talking about Curry and him deferring to other players. Do you think that part of the reason he's able to do that is because he hasn't been the center of attention on every team like a lot of these other superstars have been?
What do you mean, not the center of attention?
Like, I don't know, like LeBron, for instance, his whole life he's been told he's the man, he's the next prodigal son. And Curry hasn't. Like, you know, his report coming out of college was he's too, like, non-athletic, his shot selection's bad, you know. So
I got you.
He hasn't been kind of the go-to guy.
Maybe. I mean, obviously there's something in his makeup. I think Ray's right there. Hey, what about Moneyball? That was kind of revolutionary.
Oh, how many rings you got?
Well, they
got
a new way of thinking to baseball.
How many rings do they
Come
got?
On, Ray.
No, it matters.
No, Ray.
No, it does matter.
Ray, they got to the postseason 12,
no.
13, and 14.
It doesn't matter.
Why? Because John Lester struggled in a game like Billy Bean gets raked over the coals?
No, Billy Bean has not gotten raked over the coals, not even close.
Why not?
Well, do you want to take him on right now while we're talking about the Warriors? Is this the way you want to spend the last 14 minutes of the show?
Well, either this or the World Cup.
I'd do the World Cup any day.
All right, let's do Billy
No, I
first.
Mean, no, the difference is you win and you revolutionize. Look, the A's have not won a series yet under the Bean regime. That's the difference.
Yeah, but baseball, you get in there. I do. It's a crapshoot. Unless you're the Giants and you bring something to the table that's never been seen before.
You cannot poke this cage.
What about?
I'm on to you.
Who are we rooting for in the World Cup? You and me. Let's pick a team.
Oh, for me, it's Iceland.
Have you ever been to Iceland?
No. Have you?
No, but I'll tell you what. I kind of want to go there.
Then
I swear to God. Reykjavik.
I wish you had left 2 hours ago.
It's supposed to be beautiful.
Iceland is the best story. I mean, the team with the best players is Belgium, but they don't know what they're doing half the time because they have no sort of philosophy or shape. France is like that too. It's going to come down basically to Germany and Brazil. And Germany being, you know, more acclimated to Russia, I think, has an advantage because geography matters at the World Cup. Always has. So...
Well, I'm half German, half Italian, so obviously.
So you lost the war twice.
I wouldn't mind Germany winning. Of course, Italy. I guess they didn't make it, right?
Yeah, I don't think their chances are nearly as good.
That's too bad. That's too bad. So you want Belgium?
No, I don't want. I told you who I want. I want Iceland.
Oh, that's right.
It's a great story.
It's
a great story.
Somebody wants to ask you about different eras of basketball. Mo in West Oakland. What's up, Mo?
Fellas, I appreciate you taking my call, and it's good to hear a steady voice. Ray Ronald, double R, instead of that panicking guru we always have. But Ray, I wanted to ask, people always try to compare eras, and I had thought of something, I hope it's not a stupid question. What era would adjust first? With all the rules, everything applied, what era would adjust first, and to me, that era would be the one that I would be, you know, would say the best era. If that question makes sense, if you guys can answer that off the air, I appreciate it. Y'all have a good day, brothers.
I'm not sure I got it.
Yeah.
Did you?
I don't know that there is a best era. you know, I mean, I think the basketball of the 50s, which I don't really remember much, probably was a little slow and staid. The Celtics, if you want to define the NBA of the 60s as the Celtics, that was pretty entertaining basketball. I mean, they went up and down with the best of them.
How many games in the 60s were on television? Like late 60s?
Well, once every Sunday.
That's it?
Yeah.
Jeez.
No, I mean, but that's – see, that's the thing. Is when people talk about LeBron, the name that comes immediately to my mind is not Jordan's, but Chamberlain's. Because Chamberlain was a force in and of himself the way LeBron is physically. But nobody below my age remembers much Chamberlain because they haven't seen much Chamberlain. I mean, he was literally unstoppable in ways that even LeBron has never been. I mean, Bill Russell was maybe the greatest defensive center of all time. In fact, not maybe, the greatest defensive center of all time. Routinely gave up 40 and 25 to him because he was so ridiculously, you know, physically better than everybody else. I mean, it's just, you know, he had a year where he averaged more minutes a game than they play.
Yes. Hey, Ray, my dad saw Will Chamberlain play way, way back. And, you know, they used to have where you could go over the foul line. Did you know that?
Yeah.
So he would actually jump from the foul line.
Yeah. Oh, no, they changed three rules specifically because of him.
That one?
They widened the lane
widened
a second
the lane.
Time.
Okay.
And offensive goaltending.
What do you think's the next thing we're going to see regarding the three-point? See, I think something's going to happen with a three-point shot where they're going to say the exact same thing about Curry. That because, you know, in essence, it'll be boiled down to Curry.
I think they're
going to move it back?
No, I think they'll take away the corners.
The line will just go right into the sidelines?
Yeah.
You think they'll do that before widening the court and then making
they're
it?
They're never going to widen the court.
Just because of arena problems?
Yeah, well, yeah, because you're not taking out a row of seats, so people are going to pay $1,500 a game.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I mean, it's like, well, then
people can hear a dollar bill hit the snow.
The second row just becomes the first row.
Yeah, but you don't get to replace that row on the back with people who are going to pay $1,500. They're not changing the dimensions of the court. They're not.
I don't know.
No, they're not.
Well,
because it costs the money.
Yeah, they might do that.
No, they won't.
How can you be so? When I do this to Guru, people say, you can't say that for certain.
Well, I can say it for certain because I'm near death and I don't care anymore.
Yeah, see,
no,
I think.
But, if at any point you can point anything to me that says the owners are giving back money, then I'd listen to you. But they don't give back money. It's the reason why the schedule isn't shorter. It's the reason why playoffs are getting longer. I mean, there is nothing in any of the sports that suggests that owners and operators are going to take less money. The World Cup in 8 years, which is coming to the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, is going from 32 to 48 teams. Now, okay. Why is that?
Well, I think games. The quality of soccer is skyrocketing around the globe, right?
No, you'd be wrong. It's not. It's what it is more teams means more money. That's what it means.
You think that's it, Ray?
Yes. Without question.
So you're saying right now, Iceland has not gotten any better in soccer over the last decade.
You've pointed out one country.
Okay. What about the Sudan?
We're talking about the Sudan.
I'll bet their soccer's getting better.
Oh, no question. They've been to no international anythings ever.
So they're on the come. That's why you need more teams.
Name a player from the Sudan.
Well, I don't know one.
Oh, okay.
But I will in a year.
Look, you hit Google. You asked, show me a country. Sudan came up, and that's the one you gave me.
I got to believe soccer's going to be big in the Sudan.
Sure. Absolutely.
Just telling you.
Yeah, no, I think you should go with that.
So, Ray...
How are you? Still married?
Well, it's a
yeah, that's what I thought.
How about Egypt? They're getting better.
Mo Salah's a great player.
Hey, you know who I like? A guy named Pirlo? Is that how you say it?
He doesn't play anymore. He retired.
Oh. But he was good for Italy, right?
He was great.
And then
he's one of the very few guys that I could imagine playing while smoking a cigarette.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, and also what's his name?
The guy you're looking at now?
No, played for Italy. Starts with a B, long name.
Balotelli?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, he's...
Greatest player in our generation? Balotelli?
No.
Let's teach me a little about soccer.
Okay.
Who's the best player in the game? Messi?
Yeah.
Okay. And he's Argentina.
Right.
Okay.
Well done.
And they're in it, right?
Yes.
And anytime Argentina's in it, you got to give them a fair shake. They could win it.
They haven't won it yet. Well, I mean, they haven't won it since Maradona.
Well, right. Maradona.
They haven't won it under
now,
Messi.
Now, he was an interesting character. Maradona.
He was a borderline criminal.
Yes, but he was...
But he was a charming borderline criminal.
He was a different
criminal.
Kind of athlete, though, was he? You know what? Now, tell me if you think this is right. Maradona was to soccer like Steve Prefontaine was to track and field. Do you see that? Do you see that correlation?
You don't finish shows well, do you?
What are you talking about?
You're looking at the clock desperately.
This is when Guru usually bails me out. I'll tell you that right
now. Well, I'm not him. I'm gone tomorrow.
What I'm saying is, you know, Maradona was...
Other than being able to pronounce his name, I think you're Maradona, really on the right track.
Maradona?
Yeah.
Well, just come on. What about Ronaldo?
What about him?
Messi's better?
Yeah.
How old's Messi now? He's got to be getting up there, huh?
Yeah. He's in his 30s.
All right, so I'm picking Germany. I'm going with I'm going with my homeland, Ray. My
good
homeland.
For you. Yeah.
And you're going to root, well, your homeland lost, right?
They're not
Italy.
In it. They're not in it.
That's true. Everybody likes Italy. Well, everybody wants Italy to win it.
Well, I don't think they're going to get what they want this time.
Since I'm not going to see you for a while, Ray, where is... we got to go. We're over. Hey, we got to go, Ray. We're Matt Steinmetz, Ray Ratto, Papa and Bonte. Why
did
somebody
so
tell
fired.
Me we were over?
You stink. You're making me consider heroin.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.